Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Because every time that we hear your word, as it is written, the entrance of your word brings light. And it gives understanding to the simple. So let it be today in Jesus' name. And everybody says, Amen. Hallelujah. Welcome, everyone. This is GMI Church. If you are watching us live, we're glad that you are joining us. And those of you who are here, we appreciate you. I want to talk about today. God's word is his bond. And his name is his reputation. Hallelujah. Like I said, you know, I've been teaching on this powerful stuff. Some people may have heard it, you know, but for the rest of you who haven't heard it, you will hear it now. I'm going to start in the book of Psalms 89. If you heard it before, you're going to hear something too that you haven't heard. So pay attention. Psalm 89 and verse 34. Praise the Lord. If they can put those scriptures up to me, for me quickly, I want to move through this quickly. My covenant, saith the Lord, will I not break. Neither will I alter the thing that is gone from my lips. Amen. God's word is his bond. And his name is his reputation. Now, I'm going to talk about his word for just a few minutes. And after that, I'll talk about his reputation. Now, this is the thing that God said here about his word. He said, the thing that goes out of my mouth, I will not break it. I won't change it. As a matter of fact, he said in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 10 and 11. He said, as the rain comes down from heaven and the snow comes down from heaven and it don't return there again, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bud forth, that it may give seed, he said, to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Amen. You cannot make it return void. In fact, it shall not return void. It shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. Amen. Amen. Now, once God speaks his word, it's settled. Hallelujah. Amen. It is settled once he says it. That's it. It's done. Amen. Amen. You know, you don't need to. I hope this mic is not going to misbehave. We don't need to check it. We don't need to worry about it. The word of God will sustain itself. Amen. No, the word of God has the capacity to sustain itself, to make itself happen. Praise the Lord. So when God says it, he just leaves it there, because the word carries the very essence of God, and it's within him to have. I mean, it's within his word, you know, to have that power to sustain itself. You know, once the word is spoken, in fact, he said in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1 and verse 12, once I've spoken my word, what am I going to do? Well, what did he say? I will hasten my word to do what? I will hasten my word to perform it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I want those declarations from the Lord to sink in for a few minutes. You know, let that sink in into your heart for a few minutes. First, the Lord said, the thing that is gone out of my mouth, I will not alter, and I will not break my covenant. He said that. Now, then he says that as the rain comes down from heaven to the earth and does not return back there, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, it will not return void, to accomplish the thing whereunto I sent it, and to prosper in that which I please. Then he goes on to say that, as a matter of fact, my zeal you know, shall watch over my own very word and to hasten it and to perform it. Praise the Lord. Now, we know, and in case you don't know, here's another scripture that is so rich for us to help us understand the word of God. And I say all the time, the entrance of your word. What do I say all the time? The entrance of your word gives light and it brings understanding. There is light that comes with the word of God. You know, that light is the same, eternal essence that creates or created the universe, and it's still creating, you know. And that light, when it shines in our hearts, it brings tremendous understanding. I am praying and hoping today that the light of the word of God will bring us understanding. Amen. Amen. Forever, O Lord, Psalm 119 and verse 89, thy word is settled in heaven. Well, it's not only in heaven, let it be settled in your heart. Amen. 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 Let it be settled in your heart, because it's already settled. Now, here's something I want to tell us today. Some of you have heard this before. I want to say it to you this way, because it is the message of the hour. That's why I've been teaching the message of the hour. As far as I'm concerned, it's what God told me. I've been telling the people everywhere, you know, that here is what God wants you to understand. God does not start anything until he has first finished the thing. Amen, amen. So let me say that to you again. God doesn't start anything until first he has finished that thing. Amen. When he finishes it, then he starts.
That's right.
Now, some of us may think that that's kind of backwards, but yeah, that's our own thinking. Because the way it works with God is given here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let's take a look at verses 14 and 15. I think I'm going to need a new mic. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it. Can't add to it. You can't take away from it. But the Lord does it so that men may appear before him. Amen. And if I read any of these scriptures and it makes your heart glad, feel free to say amen. Amen.
Amen.
That, now this is the Lord. This is from God's perspective. That which has already been is now. In other words, past is present with him. And that which, you know, I mean, has been is now. That which is to be. In other words, the future has already been. That which is to be has already been. And for the Lord, whether it's past, whether it's present, it's all the same. He's already finished it before he was started.
Amen, amen.
The Lamb was slain before the world began. Before there was even any world made, the Lamb was already slain. It was already finished before he even started it. Your names were already written in the book of life of the Lamb before the world began. God finished it before he even started it. Before you were even formed in your mother's womb, it was already finished.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, if you can understand that, it's so powerful. That God doesn't start anything before he first finishes it. I mean, he will finish it first and then start it. Basically, what he does is, when he has finished the thing, then he steps back and then lets the thing play out. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
But it's already done. And he can tell it to you, point blank, how it will be. Because it has already been. That which is yet to be has already been.
Amen.
With the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's why he can say that his word is his bond. If he tells you it's going to be, you know that it is going to be. Because with him, it has already been. And so God doesn't need to guess. He doesn't need to predict. He just tells it like it is. He foretells, you know, the Bible tells us that he tells the end from the beginning, because with him, it's like a big circle. It's like a big circle. When you're on the circle, you are here at 12 o'clock. Well, if you go one way this way, you think it's 12:01. If you go one way this way, you think it's 11:59. But with the Lord, see, he's neither here nor there. He's here and there at the same time. So with him, what you think is yet to be, he's already passed through that circle. And he's coming around again. Praise the Lord. I don't know how best to tell you.
What God starts, he already finished.
That's it.
You know, so, you don't, I mean, we don't need only to call him author and finisher. In fact, you can call him finisher and author. Hallelujah.
Well, I have chosen the last few weeks, and the Lord has been telling me this, I started to call him the finisher and the author. Because for me, it's already finished.
Whatever it is that I'm believing God for, it was already finished before even it entered my mind. Before it even entered my mind to even think about it, was finished already. It was already done. Hallelujah.
All I gotta do is elevate myself to the level of how God sees things. If I can elevate myself to how he sees things, if I can open my eyes and see what God is seeing, it's a done deal. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, so, you know, I'm so excited about this. Let me tell you a few other things that God said concerning his word. Here's what he said to Pharaoh. He said in Exodus chapter 9 and verse 16, that's what he said. He said, look, for this very reason, I have raised you up. Hallelujah. That I may do what? That I may show in him. Now, I'm moving to his reputation now. I'm talking about his word. I'm going to his reputation now. Now,
for this very reason,
I've raised you up.
That I might show in thee my power, and that my name
may be declared throughout all the earth. Now that's the reason he raised up Pharaoh. That's the reason he allowed Pharaoh to do all those things, harden his heart even, make it even more impossible for the children of God to get out, the children of Israel to get out of their bondage. In fact, you know, the hand of Pharaoh was strengthened against the children of God. In fact, one time he said, look, let there be more burdens laden upon them. Let there be more work added to them. Let their yokes be made stronger, because they are idle. They say, we're going to serve the Lord. So if you give them more burdens, if you give them more work, give them more bills to pay, kind of what is still happening today, people have more work to do, more hours they have to work, more bills they have to pay, more burdens that are put upon them, so that they won't have time to worship the Lord. But the Lord allowed him to do all those things. In fact, the Lord said, I raised you up for that very purpose, so that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Hallelujah. This is how Daniel put it in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 15. When he was praying and making supplications for himself and for the people of Israel because of their years of captivity, of course he read about it, knowing that it was coming to an end, and he began to pray. He said, Lord, Lord our God, you know, you are the one that brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and thou hast gotten yourself renowned, which means you made for yourself a name. This is the same thing that God said he would do. He said, you got yourself renowned. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
You got yourself renowned. You made yourself a name. Now,
I want to talk a little more about his name. In a kingdom, and you know that God has a kingdom, amen? How many of you know that God has a kingdom? Well, I don't think people know that God has a kingdom. You are in the kingdom of God, folks. You are citizens of the kingdom of God. That's right. And some of you don't know it. And maybe you need to learn more about the kingdom of God. But you don't know it. That's exactly what Jesus came to introduce. First, John the Baptist. Then, gave it on to Jesus. And began to speak about the kingdom. Now, in God's kingdom, of which Jesus said, well, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom, well, this world, then my citizens will fight. Then he said, oh, are you a king then? Of course. You said it with your mouth. You know, so that kingdom of which you are a part, ladies and gentlemen, there is a king in that kingdom. Amen? There is no kingdom without a king, and there is no king without a kingdom. And so, the welfare, listen to this statement, the welfare of the citizens of a kingdom is a reflection on the reputation of that kingdom. Now, the kingdom is synonymous with the king because that a kingdom means a king's domain. King's domain. So, kingdom. So, a kingdom is his estate, his territory, the place of his influence, where he has, you know, bring to bear his influence and want to cause the people to do things the way he wants things to be done. That's his kingdom. But the reputation of that kingdom is at stake and directly tied sometimes to the welfare of the citizens of that state. If you look at the kingdom and the citizens are all peasants, they are all, you know, suffering from malnutrition and everything. What kind of a kingdom is that? You know, now, God's kingdom is a different kind of kingdom. In his kingdom, all the citizens are also kings. Amen. Hello? God has made unto us kings, and he made us unto our God kings and priests. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, also Revelation, chapter 5, verse 10. It says it to us. God has made us kings. So, and that's why he's called King of Kings. That's Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10. King of Kings. Because his citizens are kings. Hallelujah. His citizens are not peasants like all other kingdoms. Citizens are actually kings. Now, it is in God's, listen to this, folks. Here are some punchlines for today's lesson. It is in God's best interest. And you say, well, that's a bit arrogant. No, that's the truth of the word of God. It is in God's best interest that you be looking good. That things be well with you. Because if it is well with you, then it is well with his kingdom. Because you are a reflection of his reputation. You know, now, if it is not well with you, or the citizens of his kingdom, is a reflection of him. I'm going to tell you a man that understood that. And he stood before the Lord in the book of Exodus chapter 32. Let's read verses 11 to 13. There was this engagement between Moses and the Lord. The Lord said, I had it to hear, you know, with these people. There is sick-necked people. Times are they going to just disregard my word of everything I've done for them and to, you know, and so forth? Stand back and let me wipe them out. And Moses said, hold on now, Lord. Now hold on. I know you are, you know, angry with these people and so forth like that. But let me tell you something. You know, don't let your anger, you know, cause you to do something that will make the people of the world to say something about your name. This is what Moses said to God. He said, look, your name is at stake. You brought these people out of Egypt.
Now, what will the people say when you destroy them? They will say that because he couldn't keep them, that's why he brought them and to destroy them. And he said, your name is at stake.
Hallelujah. Now, if you know how to pray that kind of prayer, you're going to get something here today. Praise the Lord. Now, let's read it. He says, Moses besought the Lord, his God, and said, O Lord, why does thy wrath wax hot against thy people? Why hast thou brought forth your people, you have brought them out with great power from the land of Egypt and a mighty hand. Then verse 12, he said, wherefore should the Egyptians now hear and speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? He said, look, the people will say, your reputation, see, this is what Moses was arguing with God. Your reputation is at stake here. Because there are people who have heard that you are a mighty God. The people know that you are the God of Paddy Red Sea. The people have seen your wonders in the land of Egypt. They have seen great things. Now, if it doesn't fare well with these people, it's going to tell on your reputation. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
That's right. If it doesn't fare, and I'm saying it right now, for every one of you as a child of God in this place today, if it doesn't, for any reason, fare well with you, it's going to tell on God. And I'm challenging the Lord here today that these are your people and they are called by your name. And therefore, your reputation is at stake. And you better stand up and do something about it. About the Red Sea that's in front of them, because people have heard that you are the God that can part Red Sea. And when these people face their Red Sea moments, then show up, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. There is a story of a man called Hezekiah. In the book of Isaiah chapter 36, Rabshakeh and Sennacherib and all of this, they came to chide Israel. And they said, look, don't even let this. They begged, don't speak in the language of the Hebrews. Speak in your language because we understand. We don't want the people to hear this disgrace. Say, no, I want you to piss in your pants. I want the people to piss in their pants. I'm going to say it. And say, huh? And he said, look, don't let Hezekiah deceive you that your God or his God can save you. God, the God of Hezekiah, cannot save you. Did the God of all those nations save them? Look, not only did we destroy their land, we cast all their gods in the fire. And there was no response. They couldn't save them. So Hezekiah went to the Lord. And let's pick up the story in Hezekiah chapter 37. We're going to read verses 14 to 21. Let's see how Hezekiah made it about God's reputation. Give me Isaiah 37 and verse 14. This is the prayer of Hezekiah. He prayed after he got the letter. He read it. He went in, spread it out in front of the Lord, and so forth. And here's what he said in verse 15. Let's go through it quickly. Verses 15 to 20. I'm going to read all of them. 15. Now, Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. Now, when you begin to tell God stuff like that, you are the God alone. You are the God of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. There is none like you. Now, this man, he learned it from his great-great-grandfather, David, how to talk to the Lord. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes and see, and hear all the words of this Sennacherib, which he has sent, not to reproach us. Hallelujah. But to reproach who?
the living God.
Now, this man knows which buttons to press. Just like David, I'm going to digress a little bit, when he went up against Goliath. Everybody said, this man has come to defy the armies of Israel. David said, This man has come to defy the armies of the living God. Now, when you make it about God's fight, when you make it about God protecting his name, then you know the right buttons to press. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back to that reading. And the Lord said, you know, go back to verse 16. Verse 16 of that verse, yes. You are the one that have made heaven and earth. Verse 17. And he said, incline thy ears, O God, hear, you know, the words of this man which he has sent to reproach the living God. Verse 18. He now said, of a truth, Lord, they boasted that they laid waste the nations, and they laid waste their countries, and they cast their gods into the fire. That's true. They did. Because they were no gods. They were the work of men's hands. They were wood. They were stone. Therefore, they have been destroyed. Now, therefore, O Lord our God. Hallelujah. Save us from his hand. Why? Let me read it to you this way. The way that all of us, most of us, would have prayed this prayer. Lord, save us from his hand that our lands be not destroyed. Save us from his hand that our wives be not widows. Save us from his hand that our children become not fatherless. And on and on and on and on. That's how we would have prayed that prayer. But that's not how Hezekiah prayed. Hezekiah said, save us, O God, that your reputation might be intact. That's basically what he prayed. Save us, O Lord, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know, hallelujah, that you are the Lord. Now, when you know how to pray like that, especially when you are facing the impossible, then you know the buttons to press. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Hallelujah. Look. Isaiah 61 and verse 3 says, all that God does, you know, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to do this, to do that, to do this, to do that, and so forth. In fact, I will appoint unto you that are mourning in Zion, I'm going to give you beauty for ashes. I'm going to give you the oil of joy for mourning. I'm going to take away your heaviness. I'm going to put the garment of praise upon you. I mean, I'm going to bring a sheet of joy in your life. Instead of weeping, you're going to have a harvesting of joy. I'm going to do all these great things. Why? Listen to why he said he would do it. You know, so that, number one, but the ultimate, listen now, so that you might be called trees of righteousness, that you might be called trees of righteousness. Let me say that again, that you might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, so that what? He might be glorified. Everything that God does is that he might be glorified. And if you want the shortest, let me tell you this way, the shortest distance between where you are with your crisis right now and to the victory is to pray the prayer that makes God be glorified. Amen. That's the shortest distance. Now, so when Hezekiah said, look, it's not so that our land may not be destroyed. It's not so that our wives will not become widows. It's not so that our children will not become fatherless. It's not so that the works of our hands will not perish. You know, but it is so that the kingdoms of the earth may know. That's his name. When you make it about his name, when you put his name, I mean, you back God to a corner like that, and you tell him, just like Moses said, look, your name is at stake now. You hold on now. When you tell him like that, he will stand up. Hallelujah. And God stood up. He said, what? One angel. He despised one angel. In one night, 185,000. And the Lord said, what did the Lord say? I will defend this city for my own name's sake.
his name saved, you got the victory already. Hallelujah.
Now put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Have you now understood these things? I'm going to make it a very short message today. But I want you to know what I have said. Number one, God's word is his bond. It is bond. I want everybody to say that with me. God's word is, and his name is his reputation. Say that with me. That's right. This is the lesson I want us to learn today. Now, any man that can't keep his word is no good. I mean, the word of God is God himself. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was the very God. John chapter 1, verse 1. And that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 1, verse 14. And we beheld his glory. Hallelujah. Now, because the Word of God is the very life and essence of God, that's his bond. You know, he's bound by his word. And so should you be. That's why you should be very careful what you say. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 2 tells us that a man is ensnared by the words of his mouth. You know, so God himself, he's snared by the words of his mouth. You know, and God will not say it if first he hasn't finished it. Hallelujah. So this lesson all ties together. God has the capacity to say, ask me and I will do it. Because he has already done it. And he knows that he, you know, his word will sustain itself. When he says, let us go over to the other side, that word will sustain itself. The storm may arise, the tempest may arise. Jesus already spoke that word. He's going to go to sleep in the back of the boat. Because the word that he spoke, as far as Jesus is concerned, they are already on the other side. Amen. The storm may arise, whatever else may blow against the boat, Jesus is not going to pray. He's not going to panic. He's just going to sleep through the storm. Because his word that he said, let us pass over to the other side, will not fall to the ground. Amen. To the other side, you are going. Amen. Amen. He didn't say, let us get in the boat and go and perish in the middle of the sea. No. Let us pass over to the other side. And if the disciples would have listened, amen. So listen to the Lord. You know, catch the fire that is in his words. Amen. Whatever he says, latch on to it. Hallelujah. Because it can never fall to the ground. Now, the next thing we're talking about is he said, he will not alter what comes out of his mouth. What's spoken in, it's done. He won't be changing it up and down. You are the only one that can make the word of God of none effect. Not God. In the book of Numbers chapter 14, because of the unbelief of the people, right? The Lord said, you will know the breach of my promise because you did not believe my word. You are going to cause my word to be broken, not God. And he said to them, you can read Numbers 14 and 28, and you can read Numbers 14, you know, to 28 to 34. He said, look, as I live, saith the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. Now, if you say, we are going to fall in the wilderness, then so you will fall in the wilderness. If you say, you know, we are going to be destroyed here, so you will be destroyed. As you have spoken in my ears, saith the Lord, so will I do unto you. Now you remember that. Now, so you make sure you only speak what the Lord already said. Amen. And he told them, jump to verse 34 of that same chapter. You know, he said to them in verse 34, because you did not believe me, you know, which should have taken you only 40 days. Now I'm going to put upon you a burden to bear your iniquity for 40 years, a day for a year. You search the land for 40 days, but now you are going to go around in circles for 40 years. And you are going to know the breach of my promise. Well, it was the people that broke the promise. God didn't break anything. Their unbelief broke it. Now, if God says something, and Jesus said not one word or jot, tittle or anything, crossing of the T, dotting of the I, will fall to the ground, all fulfilled, until all be fulfilled, and those to whom it was first given did not catch it, then there means there remained some people that must catch it. Amen. Because it must be fulfilled. Hallelujah. And for you to understand the things that God wants to do for you, is for you to understand that God already did them for you. Amen. Amen. He already did everything. Everything. It's already done. Praise God. But that's why when they came back and said, the devils are subject to us and we are happy. That's not what you rejoice about. Rejoice that before the world began, your names were written in heaven. Hallelujah. God already did it. Now, every Red Sea, every Goliath, everything that is insurmountable that you may face, be facing, or will face, when you get to that moment, here is the way that you should pray. You should pray like these great people of God in the Bible that understood things. Pray. See, the Lord said in Isaiah chapter 41, he spoke about it. He said, look, produce your strong cause so that you can justify yourself. Say it again in Isaiah 43. Produce your force. Let us reason together. When you reason with God, here's what you say. You say, Lord, we know, and you know, and I know, the devil knows, that there is none like you. Amen. You are the God that dwelleth between the cherubims. In fact, in Psalm 99, David said pretty much the same thing. He said, look, the Lord dwelleth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved. I mean, let every people tremble. You know, when you begin to put the praises of the Lord out like that, and then you turn around, you remind him of his word, then you turn around and tell him that his name is a... Don't be afraid to speak to the Lord like that. The reason people are afraid to speak to the Lord like that is because they have not exercised themselves in the presence of God. You know, if you exercise yourself in the presence of God, you practice speaking to the Holy Spirit and all of that, you will know that what I'm telling you is real. You can tell God, your name is at stake here. Praise the Lord. So it's what Ezra, so it's what Nehemiah did in their days. They said, look, we've already bragged that God will take care of us. Therefore, we are not going to request a band of soldiers. The Lord's name is at stake. He can take care of business. Amen. Now, the next time, and even today, when you are facing a situation, let your prayer be different. Remember that the word of God will never fail. Amen. Whatever he says, that's it. Amen. It's done. He did it. He finished it before he even started it. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you can catch that, if that's the only thing you catch today, you got it. But there are three things that you must catch today. One, you must catch the fact that whatever the Lord is doing or starting or seems like he's starting, he already finished it first. You know, and because he finished it before he even started it, there's nobody that can make it to not happen. Because it's already finished. He's just going to sit back, relax, and let the thing play out. And that's where providence comes into play. Providence will watch, will continually watch, guard, and protect your destiny. And it will come to pass. I will do as I please. I will perform all my pleasure, saith the Lord. Because who is it that is strong enough to make the Lord Jesus a liar? Or who is it that contended with Almighty? He can't do it. You know. But he loves the kind of contending with him that brings out his glory. He will give you power to wrestle with him, and he will make you win. Hallelujah. That's the kind of God that he is. You know, that's the kind of contending that he likes. He doesn't like the kind of contending where people, you know, doubt his power. No, he doesn't like that. You know, but he likes the kind of contending where you come and tell the Lord, I know that you are the God, even the very God that dwelleth in the midst of the cherubims. And I know that there is no God like you. And the devil knows it too, and he trembles. And when you tell God those things, God will stand up. David said, the Lord blasted with his nostrils. You can read Psalm 18. Look at God's response to David's prayer in Psalm 18. He blasted with his nostrils. Coals of fire were kindled before him. He thundered. He rode upon a cherub and did fly. One man prayed and made God do all those things. Praise God. Can you pray? The Lord said to Job, can thou lift up your voice to the heavens and cause the clouds to come over you? Can you open up the windows of heaven? Can you command the ordinances of heaven and bring their dominion upon the earth? Well, absolutely. If you know how to do it. If you know the secret that I'm sharing with you today, the way you do all of that is not about you. It's not, look, so that they can know that Pastor Yaro can heal the sick. God's not going to do anything. Hallelujah. Because that's not for his glory. But so that their people may know that there's a God in heaven that answers prayer. And there's a God in heaven that answers by fire. When you know how to structure your prayer, your life, your ministry, and everything around the glory of God. My goodness, you've never seen anything yet. Give the Lord a hand clap here this morning. Praise the Lord. Now let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. That's it. That's it right now. I want to challenge everyone that's here. You heard it today. I want you to change your prayer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Change your prayer starting today. All that prayer that you have been praying that's all about yourself, feeling sorry for yourself, and all of those things, well, that's okay. God understands that we are dust. You know, but, you know, God is elevating us this year. Amen?
Amen.
The sons of God will emerge. For you to emerge, you have to have these kinds of understanding. You know, yeah, we're not going to be praying those kind of beggarly prayers. No. We're going to come to God, challenge his reputation. Challenge his reputation. Praise the Lord. Make it about God. Tell him his name is at stake. Is his name really at stake? If the people on your job bring accusation against you of being a believer, in the court of law, will you be convicted as guilty? That's the question. If people say you are a believer, you are the one that's been going around saying the name of Jesus is this, and they look at the evidence, will the evidence show you as guilty of being said to know, that people will know that you are a believer? Now, answer that for yourself. I said that in a twist. But if the people accuse you of being a believer, of being the one that challenged, say these things about God, always stand up for God, and they say, let's get all the evidence and find out to be true, then his name is at stake on your behalf. Because you are now a real ambassador. You are an ambassador now for the kingdom of heaven. And whatever and wherever you go, the power of the kingdom of heaven is with you. Amen. That's what happens with ambassadors. So let's pray. I want you to begin to channel your prayer. Raise your hands up and begin to pray.
Pray.
Hallelujah. Begin to pray like this. Now, whatever it is that you want from the Lord, the first thing you do is tell God how great He is. Tell Him how that by His mighty hand and His holy hand, He got the victory time and time again. Tell Him that. Hallelujah. Tell Him how great He is. Tell Him all the things that He has delivered you from in the past. Glory to God. And then, after you've done all of that, then bring your supplication. And tell Him, Lord, I am called by Your name. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, arise and fight and uphold my cause, that the people may know that I am called by Your name, that Your name might be glorified. Remember, Lord, Your name is at stake. Now, take a few minutes and pray. Don't mind the person behind you or next to you or in front of you or, you know, wherever. Just pray. Pray, pray, pray. Hallelujah. Pray, pray, and pray. And plead your strong cause, saith the Lord. Bring your strong cause. Well, what is your argument today? Well, my argument, Lord, is that Your name is at stake. Because I am called by Your name. Praise the Lord. Therefore, Lord God Almighty, I bring my case before You. Isaiah 41 and verse 21 says, produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the God of and the King of Jacob. Well, what are your strong reasons? My strong reason is that, Lord, Your name is at stake for everyone that is in here that is called by Your name. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 43 and verse 26 also says, put me in remembrance. Just like Moses did. He said, look, you remember now. You are the one that promised to Abraham and this and that and so forth. You are the one that did all these great things, signs and in the land of Egypt. Now, don't let the people say otherwise to Your name. Put the Lord in remembrance. Declare it again that You might be justified. Now, let's change our prayer life. When we come to God now, let's make it about God getting the glory. Let's make it about His word that cannot fall to the ground unfulfilled. Let's make it about His name and His reputation that is at stake. And the Lord will glorify His name. Can you say amen? Amen. Father, I thank You, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise Him, you may come up to the stage. I thank You, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus, over Your people today. Thank You for Your word. Hallelujah. Now, I pray that this word will burn in your heart. Every day that you will remember it. To make it about God. Make it about God's fact. Make it about His name. Make it about His reputation. Make it about His word that He must keep. Keep His word. I will not alter the thing that has gone from my mouth. And I will not break my covenant. I have spoken it. I will watch over it. I will even hasten my word to perform it. Praise the Lord. The rain comes down and doesn't go back up. So shall my word be that came out of my mouth. I'm not going to take it back. God will not take back His word. Some people say, take it back. No, God's not going to take it back. Hallelujah. It's only our unbelief that can make the breach on God's word. Ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, people of the stock of the household of faith, this is the word of the Lord unto you today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace by all means. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's put our hands together once again for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.